The scripture that we read a moment ago, let me just remind you of a couple quick things. It was early Sunday morning, and this group of ladies, you have to understand who it was, you have to go back to chapter 23, and where it says, "And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid." And then it says, "And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." Then it says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came." So it was talking about these ladies. And so again, it was early on the first day of the week, on Sunday, and they'd come to the sepulcher. Just 3 days before, 4 days before, they'd watched Jesus as he was tried. They'd followed him to Pilate and then to Herod and then back to Pilate. They'd watched as the religious leaders of the day incited the crowd to crucify him. And then they'd followed him as he carried that cross with the help of the one that helped him carry it, and to Golgotha. They watched as they nailed him, their master, their leader. They watched as they nailed him to the cross, and then they stood there by the cross and watched as he died. After he'd hung on the cross and died, this one called Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and said, "I'd like his body." Pilate says, "Is he dead already? Let's make sure he's dead." And the soldier said, "Yes, sir, he's dead." And so Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and now Nicodemus is only mentioned in one of the Gospels. He was the one that came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3. But they took him down from the cross, and they laid him in a grave, a sepulcher, a little cave that was probably going to be Joseph's grave. And these ladies, again, followed these two men carrying the body, and I'm sure there were others with them. And they watched as they laid Jesus' body, in that sepulcher, in that little cave, and rolled a stone across the front of it. He was there 3 days and three nights. Again, I've often debated with my Catholic friends about how Jesus could be in the grave for 3 days and three nights if he was crucified on Friday and came back or was resurrected on Sunday. It just doesn't add up. And I think he was crucified earlier in the week so that he could be in the grave, just like he said, 3 days and three nights. But these ladies had to wait because it was the Passover time. It was a religious holiday. And so they just couldn't come back the next day. That would have been against their custom, against what their religion spelled out. So they'd waited those 3 days, three nights. The Passover was over. It was now the first day of the week, Sunday. Very early in the morning, they came to the grave. And what they were going to do was they brought these spices that they were going to put on his body. It was a custom back in those days that when you buried somebody that you wrapped them up in these kind of spices. Now, in one of the Gospels, one that talks about Nicodemus being with Joseph, the Bible says that the two men put the spices on the body. And I don't know if the ladies knew that they'd done that, or maybe they did and just figured that they didn't do it right. And so they were coming to fix it. I don't know. But they were coming with the spices to make everything right for the burial. They said, and they wondered, as we read in the Bible, how are we going to move the stone? How are we going to get the stone off the mouth of that cave, off the opening of the grave? Well, when they got there, as we read in verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They went into that little cave, and as the Bible says, as we read a moment ago, his body was gone. And the Bible says they were much perplexed. They said, "Well, what's going on? What's happened here? What's happened to the body of Jesus?" And as they asked themselves those questions, and maybe as they spoke about it aloud, there were two men that stood by them in shining garments. They were angels. And they said to these ladies, and "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Now, by the way, they were afraid. The Bible says they bowed before these men that whose clothes were shining with their faces all the way to the ground. They took a position of reverence. And these two men, or these angels, said to them, why are you looking for him here? He's not here. He's risen. You're looking in the wrong place for Jesus. Don't you remember what he said? That he would be delivered into the hands of angry men. He would be crucified. He would lie in the grave for 3 days and three nights. But then he would be resurrected. He would come back to life. You're looking in the wrong place. They came looking for a dead man. Now, a cemetery is a good place to look for a dead man, but if you're looking for a man that's alive, you don't look in a cemetery. They came with burial spices, and a dead man needs burial spices. But if you're alive, I mean, I wouldn't want people putting burial spices on me right now. I'm alive. Jesus didn't need burial spices. He was alive. They came to continue their mourning, and you should mourn if somebody dies. But somebody that's alive, you don't mourn about because they're alive. The angel said, hey, you're looking in the wrong place. He's not here. He's risen. Now, I just want to, just for a couple minutes, I want you to think about what they were looking for. They came looking for a person, yes. They came looking for one that they'd spent the last 3.5 years with. They came looking for their teacher. They came looking for their preacher. They came looking for one that had done miracles, that had made the blind to see and the lame to walk and raised the dead. They came looking for a person, but they also came looking for what that person provided. That person provided life. I mean, when they met Jesus, their life changed, and they had, as the Bible talks about it, for the past 3.5 years, they had had a life that was completely different than the life they knew before they met Christ. It was a life filled with learning. It was a life filled with joy. It was a life filled with peace. Now you say, oh, well, Brother Darrell, that's not the same Bible I read, because if you look at the life of the disciples, it wasn't a life of peace. I mean, there was always somebody after Jesus. There was always somebody trying to raise a ruckus. There was always somebody that was trying to get him one way or another. But I'll still submit to you, it was a life of peace because they were with the Prince of Peace. You see, when you're with the Prince of Peace, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It doesn't matter that you're in the middle of the storm. I mean, they were in the middle of a storm on the lake, on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus said, peace be still, and the sea was calmer than they'd ever known it before. You can be in the middle of a storm and know the Prince of Peace and have peace. What did they have in Christ? What were they looking for? They were looking for life. A life that was marked by peace. A life that was marked by joy. Did they have everything they wanted? Probably not. Did they do without things? Was it hard on the disciples? Jesus said, I have no home. He said, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but I don't have a place to lay my head except upon the earth. And they couldn't look at an abundance of things to find joy. But they were with one that gave them joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it didn't matter what they had joy. They had something else. They had meaning to their life. What were they before they met Jesus? They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were other things that the Bible tells us about. But when they met Christ, they had a purpose in their life that transcended any purpose that they had before they met him. So yes, that first Easter morning, that early that Sunday morning, they came looking for a person, but they also came looking for that what that person gave them. That person gave them peace. In the middle of storms, they had peace. That person gave them joy. In the middle of their want, they had joy. And that person gave them life. And I submit to you that when they came to the grave, they not only came looking for the person, they came looking for what the person provided them. Now, quickly, let me make the application. There's people in the world today that are looking for the same things. They're looking for the same things. They're looking for peace. They would just like to find something that would give them peace in their life. They're looking for joy. They're looking for, and sometimes we use the word joy and happiness interchangeably, and that's okay, I guess, but that's really not how the Bible talks about it. But people today are looking for joy, that deep-seated feeling of contentment that everything's all right. They're looking for meaning. Why am I here? Why do I walk the face of this earth? I mean, why do I live in the United States of America? Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? What's the meaning of my life? And I would submit to you this morning that most of the world is looking in the wrong place. Just like these ladies came looking for Jesus and everything that he gave them, and they came to the cemetery and he wasn't there. They were looking in the wrong place. And so most people today, as they look for peace, as they look for joy, as they look for meaning in their lives, are looking in the wrong place. You see, you won't find joy, peace, meaning, or life in things. You won't. We scurry about and we gather up things, possessions. I won't take the time to mention, you know what I'm talking about. And we think if we can get so, the world thinks if we can get so much, that we'll have peace and we'll have joy and our life will have meaning. Same thing. We say, boy, if I can get letters behind my name, if I can go to school, if I can get education, if I can know things, then I can have peace, joy, and meaning. You're looking in the wrong place. Some people say, well, if I can have position and power, if I can reach a certain level in my work or in a political office, or if I can have that, a position and power, I'll find peace, joy, and meaning in my life. You're looking in the wrong place. Some people even come to church and they say, boy, if I can get involved in church and the rituals of the church, I can find peace and joy and meaning in my life. I want to tell you, none of those things are in what the world offers up. The world doesn't know how to have joy. The world doesn't know how to have peace. I mean, just look at what's going on in the Middle East today. You can see man doesn't know how to find peace. We're not the author of peace. And the world doesn't know how to give us meaning in our life. But all those things are available in a person. They're available in that person who was crucified. They're available in that person who did die on Calvary's cross. They're available in that person who did lay in the sepulcher for 3 days and three nights. They're available in that person who is risen. They're available in that person that we call Jesus of Nazareth, the only begotten Son of God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, and I want you to know something. I was thinking about this last night. He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a truth. He said, I am the truth. He didn't say, I am a life. He said, I am the life. And the only way that we're going to find what all of us... And by the way, most of us here this morning are Christians. And so we know the truth of this verse that says, I am the life. We know that the only way that we can find eternal life is through this person called Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, the only way that we can find the truth in anything we set out to do is through Jesus. He is the truth. He is the way. He's not wrapped in grave cloths this morning. He's not behind some stone. He is, as the angel said, risen. Risen. The angel said to these ladies, he's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day rise again. And then in verse 8, and they remembered his words. They remembered what he said. They said to the angels, you know, you're right. We're looking in the wrong place. He's not in the cemetery. He's not in the grave. He's alive, just like he said that he was going to be. And I hope today all of us as Christians will remember those same words. We don't serve a dead Savior, we serve a risen Savior. And it's in him that we'll find peace, joy, meaning, life. All the things that every single person is looking for, we will find not in what the world has to offer, but in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is the life. We can't get to heaven. We can't find eternal life. We can't get our sins forgiven any other way but by coming to him. And I pray this morning that if there's somebody that's going to be in our Sunday school and in our services this morning that doesn't know Christ, today would be the day that they make that decision to receive him. Help them to see, Father, that there is no other way, but that he is the way. And then, Father, all of us that know him as our Savior, we found the life. Help us to realize that he is the truth, he is the way, that all the good things and that we have, everything we have, comes from him. Comes from him. Not what the world has to offer, but from him. Bless the remainder of our services today. Bless the food that we're about to partake now. Thank you for the ones that have prepared it. And I pray that you bless this time of fellowship that we're about to have. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.